born in Prestonwood. So glad you're here. Would you stand with us? Fights our battles for us. His is the victory. Let's sing. When all I see is a battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. I love this. So when I fight,
I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. If you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress. You go before us. Nothing can stand against the power.
Everybody, who brought your worship with you this morning? That's what we like to say. Don't come to worship. Bring your worship with you. And when we worship together, great things happen. This is our victory. I love singing songs about our victory in Jesus. And the battle truly is His. And we give it to Him every day. Some of you are fighting battles and carrying burdens right now, and you are in the right place. Those of you who are watching online, welcome. And everyone in the room, we're so glad that you have joined us today. And I would encourage you, if you are a guest after this service, go to Guest Central, which is right behind us in the atrium in the lobby, And we have a gift for you. And that includes, for first-time guests, that includes a voucher for Main Street and a great buffet. We'd love to host you there. But we are here in this room to lift up the name of Jesus. And when we lift him up, we get lifted up. We give the battle to him. And there was a great battle in the Old Testament when they actually sent the singers, the choir, out in front to lead the battle procession, and the victory was won. Praise is the battle, because the battle is the Lord's. So let's bow our heads together in prayer, and let's ask him to pour out his faithfulness, his favor, his goodness, his grace upon our lives. Lord, we give you this time. We get our minds and our hearts set on you, our focus on Jesus. Lord, whatever battles we are fighting and the burdens that we are carrying, Lord, we know that you are greater than all. When Satan attacks, greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And we live in this victory and in the vision and the hope and the promise that one day we will sing these songs of praises in your presence. But until then, we offer you our best today in worship. Let us lift up our voices and our hearts to you. We pray that lives will be transformed by the power of your word and the preaching of the gospel today. We pray that your church will be built up and strengthened, that every Christian will be revived in heart. For we pray this in Jesus' name, knowing that you are faithful, that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And all God's people said, amen.
Let's all declare this together this morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Morning by morning, new.
history. Your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises and fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. Amen. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you
church family. We just wanted to come and tell you thank you for your faithfulness and giving that allows us great opportunities like this week here at Lakeview Camp in Waxahachie. We've had the great opportunity, all campuses, to be together with 807 amazing students and leaders, and God has done amazing things this week.
Your kids have made incredible memories by being in worship, studying God's Word, and making decisions for the Lord. Here's a taste of what God did at Camp Renegade.
We've seen 105 decisions for Christ here at Camp Renegade, and 81 of those first through sixth graders at Kids Camp and Preteen Camp prayed to receive Jesus for the first time. Thank you so much, Prestonwood, for giving this summer and investing in our next generation. You truly have given an eternal investment. Continue to give this summer. God's gonna do big, mighty, and powerful things.
Can you imagine the energy at this camp? All those great kids, over 800, including great sponsors as well. Thank you, everyone, to all of our sponsors and to certainly our staff and all the great kids and the lives changed. We thank you, God, for each one of them. This is an opportunity this summer to give and directly invest in camps. In fact, this week, our middle school and high schoolers going to camp down in Florida. I'm looking forward to being with them. Down in the Panama Beach, Florida area. It's going to be incredible. We have over 1,200 going to student camp, beach camp this year. So it's a record number. And be praying that God will call out young men and women to fully devote their lives to Him, that He will save the lost and encourage those kids in this generation to take up the cross and follow Jesus. My life was changed in a big way at a student camp, a youth camp, when I was a teenager. So I'm all in on youth camp, or beach camp, as we call it here. So be praying. We have Adventure Week coming up. And as we're giving our offerings throughout the summer, our summer giving, we're just getting started. But the 13 weeks or so of summer, we're just reminding all of us to stay plugged in, stay connected. In fact, I failed to mention a moment ago the connect for all of our guests. If you are a guest here at Prestonwood today, text 74788 and the word connect, 74788 and connect. And we would love for you to connect with us and be a part of our church going forward. At the close of this service, we're going to be giving an invitation, inviting people to come to know Christ and also to add to His church. And you can join the church today. Between services, we're going to have a fountain baptism. So I'll remind you this at the end of the service, hopefully, but we're going to go out in front in our fountain and have a beautiful baptismal service. We'd love for you to take, I don't know, it's a 15-minute time together. How about that heat index? Just getting near the water will be nice. So it's not that hot yet. So, but we'll be out there between services. Come out and join us for the baptism if you can. But just know that all this summer we're going to be reaching so many people for camps and mission trips and Adventure Week. We still need volunteers for Adventure Week. You can go to the atrium and sign up or to see what you might be able to do to help us for Adventure Week. For those of you who may not know what is Adventure Week, that's just good old-fashioned Prestonwood style vacation Bible school. And it's going to be fantastic with kids all that week, 5,000-6,000 kids at both campuses. So good things, great things are happening. And I love singing the song that we just sang, the goodness of God. God is good. He does good, and He's always working together for good, everything in our lives as we follow Jesus. So let's bow together in prayer. Let's commit this summer to the Lord. Let's commit our lives and, yes, our generosity as we support the work of Prestonwood in the lives of these young people. What price is a soul saved? Jesus said, what does it matter if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? That's one soul. It's more than all the world put together. Everything in it, everything about it, one soul. So thank you for investing to the saving of souls, both young and old. And Lord, we thank you that we can give now from our hearts and enjoy the privilege and the blessing of giving back. You have given us so much beyond what we could ever measure. So, Lord, we take what we have, starting with our tithes, that first 10%, and then giving generous sacrificial offerings beyond this. We do this because we love you and because we want to advance your church and your kingdom through it. So thank you for your people, Lord. We pray for these camps and these students. We pray for your power and your presence to fill each place where we gather. We pray for those who will be bringing the word and preaching the gospel. And we thank you, oh God, that lives will be changed now and forever. And so we offer this in Jesus' name, our very lives. Amen and amen.
Miracles when you move, such an easy thing for you to do.
is moving right now. You are still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus, and your voice is calling me out right now. I know you're able, and my God, come through again. You can do all things. You can do all things but fail, 'cause you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. And I know you never will. Everything's possible by the power of the Holy Ghost. A new wind is blowing.
Good morning, everyone. How you doing? Are you excited in Jesus? Let's give God praise together. Amen. Amen. How many know that God has never lost a battle and that he never will? There is no doubt. That's a fact. Do you know him for yourself? Do you know Jesus? Because at the end of the day, that's the question that we will all answer. Amen. Well, I'm grateful to be here with you this morning. And, you know, oftentimes I hear people in the sports world or the business world or just in general conversation, they say, I'm connected. And Pastor, you said the word connected a few minutes ago. I am connected to such and such on LinkedIn. Or I'm connected to this person, or I'm friends with them on Facebook. Or I follow such and such on Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat, or I saw your TikTok. There are lots of connectivity in our society today. Can I get a witness? Lots of connectivity. But the fact of the matter is, we can all be connected to someone or something in an instant via the internet. I remember when my wife Robin and I, when we first got the internet, it was dial-up. Y'all remember that? And it made this horrible screeching noise when it was trying to connect. And I know some of you in here might not remember that, but I do. And it was a time, it was innovative at that time. And, you know, oftentimes people tease me because I have an AOL email address. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but I know there's some of you in here who have an AOL email address. I see you. Thank you for being brave. But when I was a rookie at the Washington Redskins, that's the team that I played for, by the way. I didn't play for this new team called the Commander. I played for the Redskins, but anyway. Yes. Pick number 226, 1995 in the NFL draft. The Redskins. But anyway, AOL had just moved their world headquarters to Northern Virginia, and they came over to the facility, and they gave all the players a lifetime membership with AOL. Yes. So I'm a life member. So don't talk about me. This term connected, it's an adjective that means to be brought together or brought into contact, so that real notional or theoretical link is established. To be brought together or brought into contact so that a theoretical, if you will, link is established. That's what the definition of connected is. And so I looked up a few statistics as it pertains to connectivity. LinkedIn has 830 million members around the world. And their mantra is create economic opportunity for every member of the global workforce. As of April of 2022, Facebook has 2.9 billion users, of which 1.9 billion are daily users and 67% open on a daily basis. In 2022, Instagram has 1.4 billion users around the world. Twitter, 330 million. TikTok, 1 billion. Snapchat, 332 million daily active users around the globe. Tremendous masses of people connected worldwide, 24/7, for one reason or another, be it business, social, sport, entertainment, family, friends. And I will say, those connections that are not pleasing to the Lord. Church, we must always be careful and picky about our connections. Amen? Amen? Picky on who we are connected with and for what reason we are connected. Be careful about your connectivity. I was interested in the average amount of time people spend on social media or social platforms on a daily basis. A few stats. In 2012, the daily time spent on social networking by internet users was 90 minutes. In 2016, it was 128 minutes. 2019, 145 minutes. And so far this year in 2022, an average of 147 minutes per day, which equates to 2.45 hours on social networks. As you can see, we put great emphasis on staying connected and being in the know, if you will. The U.S. is the fourth worldwide on time spent on social media behind Nigeria, the Philippines, and India. When I was preparing for this message today and learning about the aforementioned statistics on social media, I couldn't help but wonder, pertaining to being connected, what is the percentage of Christians in America that attend church on a weekly basis. When Gallup first started taking this measurement in 1937, the percentage was 73% of Americans went to church on a daily basis, and it stayed around the 70 percentile until and through 2000, and then that percentage began to decline. In 2010, it was 61%. In 2013, 37% attended church on a weekly basis. In 2020, it's 47%. In 2021, it's 28% of Americans attend church on a weekly basis. And some would say that the recent cause of the decline is because of COVID. But the truth of the matter is, church attendance began to decline way before COVID began. Church attendance is crucial, and it is an important piece of the puzzle when we discuss connectivity. Amen. Do you follow me? Another interesting study showed the percentage of Christians that report reading their Bible on a daily basis has also declined. Current day, it's less than 9% or less than 10%, if you will, of Christians that read their Bibles on a daily basis. And then we wonder why we face so much depression and anxiety. How come we can't feel like we can get over the hump? Why don't we treat people, our spouses, our children? We have anger and bitterness issues. We can't seem to keep a job. We keep continuing to go in this spiral down and down. 9% of Christians that read the Bible on a daily basis. There is your answer. How about us? How's our time in the Word? Look at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. We want to look at a connectivity that results not just in a notional or a theoretical link, as our definition suggests, but we want to look at a connection that results in an abiding presence, in a heavenly bond, and ultimately a connection that results in eternal life. The context here is Jesus is speaking to his disciples in what would be one of his last teaching moments and last farewell addresses before his death on the cross. We'll see that Jesus uses metaphors like vine and vine dresser and branch to help his disciples and those that are listening to understand what he is saying. At this time of John 15, those people that were in the community that were listening to Jesus speak, they were also involved in farming and growing of all kinds of plants, including vines and others. They were used to terms like vine and vine dresser and branch, and they understood the responsibilities and the correlation that Jesus was using. And Jesus knew that when he departed, his disciples would have a heavy task and that they would be under many hardships. So it was imperative that they had a clear understanding and a strong faith, because this would only come after they understood what it meant to truly trust God. So with this context and understanding, let's read John chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself by itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Amen? In verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine. And for reference sake here, we see this distinct imagery of the specific identity I am and the called mission of Christ in other chapters of the Gospel of John. 7 times he says, I am. He makes it very distinctive of who he is and what his mission is. In John 6, 35, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. In John 8, 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John 10:7, he says, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. In John 10:9, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. In John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, he lays down his life for his sheep. In John 11:25, it says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. So Jesus says here, I am the true vine. The word true here suggests realness. It suggests genuineness. That Jesus truly gives what is represented by the vine, nourishment and nutrition to each branch that is connected to the vine. As Jesus spoke to his disciples, he's teaching them that he is the source of their strength, that he is the source of grace for them, that he's their leader, he's their teacher, that he pours into them, that he imparts to them everything that they need to live for him. Are you with me? And to carry out the mission, the task that is set before him. He is their sufficiency. And I'm reminded in Acts 17:28, it says this, in him we live and move and have our being. Like Jesus was to the disciples, he's also to us as believers. He is the source of our strength. He is the source of our grace. Amen? Amen. Stay connected to the true vine because it is real and it is genuine. Your nourishment, your nutrition, your sufficiency is in Christ. Make a declaration. My sufficiency is not in me. My sufficiency is in the true vine, Jesus Christ. Look back at verse 1. It says, my Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser here is the one who takes care of the vineyard. The vine dresser, and some verses say husbandman, but the vine dresser nurtures. He shapes and trims and protects the vines. The vine dresser takes a personal interest in the growth of each vine. He takes a personal interest in the welfare of the vine, and he does whatever it takes to ensure that these things happen. God our Father is the vine dresser here in our text. He appointed Jesus, the true vine, to be the source of blessing, to be the source of strength and grace for man. As Jesus spoke to his disciples, God takes care of every branch that is connected to Jesus. He looks after the welfare of every branch that is connected to the vine. He protects you. He sustains you. He nourishes you. He looks after you. He makes it a personal decision to make sure that every branch that is connected to his son is good to go. Amen. Amen. That's every person that comes to faith, saving grace in Jesus Christ. We see a very powerful picture here of the unity of God the Father and God the Son, which directly correlates, according to Scripture, to the unity that we have with the Father through the Son. God the Father connected. We as men and women of God connected to God the Father through the true vine who is Jesus Christ. Do we see the picture? Every branch in me, verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear even more fruit. Essentially here, everyone that is a true follower of Jesus Christ, all of us who are joined together and connected to Jesus by turning away from sin, repenting of our sin, and accepting and confessing our faith in Jesus Christ, and therefore thereby obtaining our strength and our grace from him. Like the branch derives strength and nourishment from the vine, we derive strength and nourishment from Jesus. The ones that are connected to Jesus are the ones who bear fruit. True witnesses of Christ. Ambassadors for Jesus. And I want to pause right here and take this time. This is a good time for each of us, those of us that are here and those of us that are online. This is where we ask ourselves, am I connected to the true vine? Am I bearing fruit in my life because of my relationship with Jesus? Am I living in such a way that I am useful to others? Am I bearing fruit as a result of the influence of Almighty God and Jesus Christ in my life, His character in me? Am I bearing fruit, or am I on this day a branch that is not connected to Jesus? You either are connected or you're not connected. Amen. To the true vine. And if you're not connected to Him, then you bear no fruit. Where are you today? See, Jesus, He spoke of bearing fruit in the Gospel of Matthew. When He was speaking to His disciples in Matthew 7, 17 through 20, He says, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased trees bear bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them. You will recognize me by my fruit. Are you fruitful today? Do people recognize you because of the sweet fruit of your life? And it's a question that we as men and women of God, as believers, have to ask ourselves. I want to read you something that I came across during my time of study. And it's from Daniel Barnes, when he was describing the relationship of the branch and the vine, or Jesus and His disciples. Barnes said this: Jesus says here that He sustains the same relation to His disciples that a parent stalk or a vine does to the branches. But this does not denote any physical or incomprehensible union. It is a union formed by believing on Him, resulted from our feeling of dependence on Him and our need for Him, from embracing Him as our Savior, Redeemer, and friend. We become united to Him in all our interests, all have common feelings, common desires, and our common destiny with Him. We seek the same objects. We are willing to encounter the same trials, contempt, and persecution as Jesus, and the same wants as Him. We have the same desires that His God shall be our God and His eternal abode our eternal abode. It is a union of friendship, of love, and of dependence. It is a union of weakness with strength, of imperfection with perfection. It is a union of a dying nature with a living Savior, a lost sinner with an unchanging friend and Redeemer. It is the most tender and interesting of all relations, that we have a common destiny, that we are willing to encounter the same trials, contempt, persecution, that we are so connected to Jesus that His desires become our desires. His hate for sin is our hate for sin. His love for people is our love for people. His willingness to lay His life down for others is our willingness to lay our life down for our brothers and sisters. Are you with me this morning? Are you connected to the true vine? Amen. This here is a divine connection with eternal rewards, not in theory, not in hypotheticals, but in truth. Secured by blood, the blood of the slain Lamb of God, a divine connection that is secured by the resurrected Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was crucified on Calvary's cross. He was buried, and then God raised Him from the dead. A divine connection with Him who sits at the right hand of the Father on the throne of God with all power in His hand. And glory be to God that He is coming back again. That is a divine connection. Are you connected to the true vine? A lot of times I hear people bragging about how many friends they have on Facebook or how many followers they have on Twitter. I didn't even know I had an official Instagram until somebody told me. And that's all right. That's just me. Oftentimes I hear people glorifying in this. And the activities of their life are so that they can have more of this. But as we just read right here, our activities of our life ought to be so we could live and glorify Jesus and stay connected to the true vine, because there is eternal life. I read before in that statistic that 2.45 hours per day is the average spent on social media. I think it's more, but they didn't ask me. But for the sake of our message, we'll say 2.45. How much time are we spending having this knowledge? How much time are we spending in nurturing our connection and our relationship with the Lord? Are we being intentional with our time? Are we seeking Him on purpose? This is a question, again, that we all must answer. Remember the scripture text here in verse 2. It says that a branch that is not bearing fruit, that the vine dresser, God the Father, takes those branches away, because these branches are unfruitful. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to live in such a way that others will be made holy. We have to live in such a way that others will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior like we know Him. Amen. Therefore, if we are truly connected to the vine, the true vine, we cannot just profess Christ or say that we are Christians or say that we are members of this church and yet live a life or a lifestyle that is not pleasing to the Lord. In other words, not bearing fruit and pushing others away. This deems me to be an unfruitful branch. And the fruit that we think we have, if we're not living pleasing to the Lord, the fruit that we think we have will soon wither away and prove not to be genuine. But if we are truly connected to Jesus Christ, not just in word according to the scripture, there will begin to be a pruning in our life. There will be a purifying in our life, a sanctifying, a setting apart, if you will, in our life, that we may bear more fruit. God will begin to take away those things in your life that hinder your growth. He'll begin to take away the things that are stunting your usefulness if you are truly connected to the vine. See, when you're truly connected to Jesus, God will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, quicken you. He will revive you. He will restore you. He'll begin to challenge your thinking. He'll begin to challenge the motives of your heart. He'll begin to teach you and to draw you nearer to Him, that you may dedicate yourself and devote yourself, all of yourself, to Him. Amen. Like the vine dresser in the vineyard that removes every vine that causes others not to grow, God the Father will take away, or He removed those things, those people, those hobbies, those habits that are binding our affection for Him. This is what you call the pruning or the purging process. And we ought to welcome this in our life. Lord, here I am. Have your way. Purge me. Prune me. Fix me. Mold me. Teach me. Lead me. Guide me. Do whatever it is that you have to do in order that I may bear more fruit. How many said that lately? And you say, well, that doesn't sound very comfortable. It's not comfortable. But it depends on how serious you are with your relationship with Jesus. I've never read in my Bible that God wants us to be comfortable. Have you? He wants us to be obedient. And sometimes he has to prune us to grow us. Sometimes he has to clip us and cut us to grow us. Sometimes he got to shake us up in order to get our attention and so we can bear more fruit. Are you willing to be fruitful today? It's a simple question. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against us there is no law. And church, these qualities and characteristics don't just happen automatically. You got to go through something. You got to be connected to Jesus in order to have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Oh, and yes, self-control. In and of myself, I have zero control. But because I'm connected to the true vine, I have self-control by way of the Holy Spirit of God. Are you bearing fruit today? Let's close with verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abide in a vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. As a reminder, Jesus speaking here to his disciples, knowing that his time of departure is near. He's encouraging them out of concern for them. He wants them to remain and to obtain a personal connectivity to him. But in order for this to happen, there has to be, because his physical departure is coming, this has to be a spiritual fellowship. And so he's encouraging his disciples here. And the same goes for you and I. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are to abide in him. We are to remain in him. Stay right where you are. Don't leave him. Don't get unconnected. Stay connected to Jesus, because the result is a fruitful life in him. And in order for us to abide in him, we have to be intentional. We got to do it on purpose. We have to exercise our will. We have to make a conscious decision on a daily basis and put forth the effort, not just out of habit, but out of our love for him, to stay in fellowship with Jesus. Are you with me? Amen. It's not just a habit. It's not just duty. It is because, Lord, I thank you. I'm so in love with you. I don't want to be anywhere else but connected to you. Amen. It's a decision, a conscious effort. Your will has to take place here, because if I have my way all the time, I don't want to just get up and read the Bible. I don't want to just get up and get on my knees and pray. I don't want to be faithful, but because God has done so much for me and I love him and Jesus died for me and shed his blood for me, I don't want to go anywhere else but be connected to him. Make a decision. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. How do we stay connected? Seek God in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Always be in a posture of prayer. Pray in the morning, in the noon, and in the midnight hour. Never cease praying. You got to spend time in the Word of God. Studying, meditating, memorizing scripture, listening to the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourselves unto God as one who is approved, a worker who has not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Stay in the Word of God. The Word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. Amen. It is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. No matter how dark it is around you, God's word will light your path day by day by day. But you got to stay in it. Memorize, meditate, listen. Dr. Ken Cooper, Dr. Graham and I met with him a few months ago. He said the key to his longevity is that he stays in his word. He spends time with God. After all of these years, at 91, the Bible is the most important thing to him in his life, and God has blessed him. How about you? Got to stay in fellowship with other believers. If you want to abide in God, Stay in fellowship with your brothers and sisters. We just saw the video at a renegade camp. Fellowship with your brothers and your sisters, the sisterhood of Christ, the brotherhood of Christ. One of my most valued assets and treasures is the godly relationships that God has given to me, that God has established in my life. How about you? Don't be isolated. Don't be a loner. Don't be a stranger. Stay in the brotherhood. Stay with your people in church, in Bible fellowship, in Bible study. Let people encourage you. Let people speak into your life. Let people hold you accountable according to His word. Oh, I know that's a scary word, accountability, but it's in the Bible. You want to abide in Christ? Get with the people of God. Hebrews 10, 24 says this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Godly fellowship is so enriching to our spirit. Commune together. As we gather here in the house of God to pray and worship together, to listen and to be under the teaching and preaching of God's word, that is connectivity to the true vine by way of His people. Come to church, be in the body, stay connected, live a fruitful life. Amen? I want to leave you with something today. It's something that I received from my good buddy John Kitna that encourages me to not become complacent in my relationship with Christ, to stay connected to Jesus, and to live a fruitful life. And I read this to myself often, and I want to read and encourage it to you. It says, I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, positions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be first, tops, praised, recognized, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith. I lean in His presence. I walk in patience. I'm uplifted by prayer. I labor with power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few, my guide is reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away. I can't turn back. I won't be deluded or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. I won't hesitate in the presence of the enemy. I won't pander at the pool of popularity or meander at the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up. I won't set up. I won't let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach until all know. I must work until He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me because my banner is clear. Amen. Do you know Him today? Are you connected to the true vine? Is your life fruitful? Jesus desires to be connected to you. He desires for you to live a fruitful life. Do you know Him for yourself? Amen? Let's stand together. In our time of decision, this is the most fruitful time of our service. You may be here this morning and say, well, Pastor Scott, I don't know Jesus for myself. I want to be connected to the true vine. Well, today is your day. Look amongst you. Your family's here. You're in the house of the Lord. If you don't know Jesus for yourself, the Bible says, for God so loved you, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Are you sure? Do you have a blessed assurance today that Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life? If you're here and you want to know him, you can come. We welcome you. The angels in heaven rejoice when one repents and comes to know Jesus. Are you here this morning? We all need a Savior. We're saved by grace through faith. We can't save ourselves. Only Jesus. He shed his blood for you. Do you know him? Maybe you're here this morning and say, well, I've been coming and visiting for a while, and God is calling me to join. We welcome you to this body of believers, to be a member of Preston One, to come and serve with us, to work with us, to pray with us, to gather and worship with us. If you're here this morning, we welcome you. Our pastors will be down here on the front and every level of the church to welcome you, to pray with you. Maybe you want to be baptized in believer's baptism. We're going to baptize some in the fountain. I want everybody to be there. It's a wonderful expression of dying to ourselves and living unto God. It's in the Bible, commanded by the Lord Jesus in believer's baptism. Maybe you want to be that today. We welcome you. Maybe you just want to come and pray at the altar. The altar's open. We'll pray with you too. Don't leave out of here today without answering the call that Jesus is calling you to. Whatever it is, don't let nothing hinder you. Will you come today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of decision. Lord, we pray you remove every barrier. Father God, that you would speak to every heart. The Lord Jesus, nothing will hinder us or keep us from answering the call of Jesus in our life. Father, we thank you that you're our Savior, our Lord. You shed your blood. Lord, help us to have a blessed assurance that Jesus is Lord and Savior of our life. We thank you, God, for your word that has gone forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text JESUS to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.